Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, we thank you for your living word, which is so precious to us, this sharp double-edged sword. It never returns empty. Lord, would you please send the Holy Spirit to come and open our minds to understand your word, to see Jesus Christ in these words, and to follow him strongly in our culture. All to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, welcome to the third and final week of this shortened series on the letter to the Hebrews. Not enough time in this letter, but just a brief glimpse into this magnificent letter in the New Testament. Let me start with a question. Do you like to be reminded of things? Do you like to have someone coming behind you and reminding you of things? Or do you hear it maybe not as a helpful reminder, but as nagging or nitpicking? I wonder. Let me read just a little passage from the letter to the Hebrews here. We must pay the most careful attention so that we do not drift away. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Our passage today is continuing the big picture of the letter that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for and hoping for and looking for. And this is a reminder to them, and they were being reminded over and over again to hang on to Christ. So if you feel nagged by your preacher this morning or nitpicked, take it up with me over coffee, okay? You buy me coffee. And I'll tell you why I keep reminding you about this. These reminders are here for a reason. These are reminders I need every day. We all need them as disciples of Jesus. We need to be reminded because the devil's about his work. He has some power. It's limited, but it's real power to come in, take some shots at us, get us off our game, and tempt us to stray away. So we need to be reminded to come back. One of the ways that this letter continues to remind the people is by asking a question. Basically, the question is this. Once you've come to Christ in faith, and once you've received him as your Savior, why would you ever leave him? How could you ever leave behind the one who is the full radiance of God and the exact representation of his being? But that was the temptation for these people, to shrink back from Christ. This letter was written to them to strengthen them, to keep them going for the long haul. This is, well, imagine for a second you're a long-distance trucker driving from Halifax to Victoria. You're in it for the long haul. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. That's the imagery here. Run your race of faith over the long haul. Because you want to cross the finish line with your faith intact and still growing. You want to be able to look back to yesterday and say, I was still growing and learning what it means to follow Jesus. And I was still trusting him with a childlike faith. That is the goal. Sometimes we limp across the finish line. But the better thing to do is to continue to grow and to cross the finish line intact and growing. We often focus on the spiritual stars, don't we? Those living heroes, those living saints, they seem to be sprinting ahead. But the picture here in Hebrews is more, I think, of a spiritual plotter. I like the plotters. They're the ones who continue on. They follow Jesus by faith. They follow him forever. They don't turn aside. They don't get recognition. They don't have bestsellers in the Christian world. They don't get awards. They have good, solid faith and good works for life. They're people who love God. They love their neighbor as themselves. So today's focus is a theme of endurance. And in the passage today from chapter 6, I really want to focus on one verse, which is verse number 17, which says this. Verse number 17, Hebrews 6. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. He confirmed it with an oath. This verse captures that theme of endurance. It shows how God gives you the certainty you need. And my assumption here this morning is that we all need to be reassured and reminded on a regular basis. Not once a year at Christmas or Easter, regularly, every week, to be reminded of who we are in Christ. When you have those moments that you think maybe you're drifting away, please remember that when you drift, it doesn't mean you've lost your faith and you're a bad Christian. It means you need to be reminded. These Jewish Christians needed to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. The worst thing that can happen when we're going through a time of temptation and doubt is to have someone in our church give us a pat answer and say, oh, just have a bit more faith. You need to trust more. When we answer that way, we miss a great chance to listen to a person deeply and encourage them as the writer of this letter encouraged these people. This is not a pat answer. This is a deep and honest reflection of what it means to be living in Christ. Living through times of persecution, doubt, uncertainty, suffering, but great joy and purpose mixed in there as well. So we do well to remember that in our own lives, we're like these Jewish Christians. We need a ton of reassurance. How can we be any different? Why would we be any different from these people? Yes, they suffered physical persecution, but we suffer other kinds of temptations that they couldn't understand. Temptations that are unique to our modern day. But still temptation. So back to that main central verse, 17. It says that God wanted to make his unchanging purpose very clear to his people. So he wanted to reveal it with absolute clarity. How did he do that? Well, I'd like to mention two ways that God gives us clarity. And this clarity, I hope, will fill you with hope and keep you hopeful and walking by faith until you cross the finish line. Here's the first way. God gave some clarity when he made a promise and an oath to Abraham in the book of Genesis. Now, when you think about an oath or a promise, I'm guessing many of us are very nervous and wary about people who make promises. We humans don't have a great track record when it comes to our promises. We've all seen too many promises made and too many promises broken by so many people. Well, in Hebrews 6, we have the surprising picture of God coming down to our level and taking an oath. Taking an oath, God. It's so shocking because God's actually the only one who never needs to make a promise because he doesn't break his promises. Why does he need to take an oath? Listen to verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Why did he do that? Why would God do that? Well, he did it for Abraham. He did it to reveal himself to Abraham, to reveal his promise, his faithfulness. And by doing it for Abraham, he did it for the children of Abraham, the ones who were called the heirs of what was promised in verse number 17. That's us. We're included in that group of the heirs. He did it for you. He's promised. He's made an oath, just as he did for Abraham. And why? Well, because he wanted to reveal himself. He wanted to reveal his good news of salvation to the world. One of the great principles of the Old Testament and New Testament is that God's word was spoken and written for the benefit of his people. It's our sacred book, given for us so we'd understand who God is. He calls us to himself by his word. The Holy Spirit puts God's power behind these words and changes lives. Lives are changed when God's word is shared and studied, read, preached, and taught. When people describe coming to faith in Jesus with the words, "I found Jesus," that's actually not true. You don't find God because you can't find him. You can't approach God's radiant glory by yourself. That needs to be revealed to you. It needs to be shown to you. You need to be shown how to come. He finds you. He knows his children. He calls his children to himself through his word. And it's up to us to respond, but even our response is hidden in the mystery of God's grace. Even our faith is a gift from God. It's one of those great mysteries. Without this amazing grace working in this way, none of us would ever be saved, because none of us has the purity we need to be in God's holy presence. That's why we needed Jesus to take on human flesh and to die for us, to purify us. And we cling to him in faith. He's the one who makes us right and able to stand in front of a holy God. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us. That's what he does for you. He meets you where you are. He calls you where you are. And he makes you clean. And that's a full stop. He makes you clean. And he revealed this first to Abraham. If you notice in verse 18, God gave the promise. He took the oath in order to encourage us in our faith. It's all about encouragement. That promise and oath to Abraham gives us that clarity we so desperately need. And it's clarity these Jewish Christians needed for the persecution they were suffering. But it didn't end there. There's a promise and an oath, but there's more. There's more clarity to come, if we could imagine that. We see this in verses 19 and 20. The full clarity here is the clarity of the Son, Jesus Christ. And again, this is the theme of the letter, that Jesus is the full revelation of the radiant God. And I love the imagery the writer uses to describe the solid hope we have. Listen to verse number 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Now, I'm not a sailor. I never have been. I never will be. Because why? I love the water. I get seasick. Sailing and me do not get along. But I love that nautical image of an anchor. That's very powerful. That's the hope that we cling to, that's driven deep into the bedrock. And that anchor is what God's revealed to us. He's shown us his plan. He's made a promise. He's taken an oath. And then how did he carry that out? Well, he sent his son. He revealed Jesus. He sent him to live among us, to reveal the kingdom of God, and to finally suffer death on the cruel cross, and then to be raised to new life. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserved. It doesn't get better than that. That is where our faith is. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified and raised in glory. So now notice where the writer goes here in verses 19 and 20 of this passage. Let me read this. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. That is a living hope. That's using the imagery of the Jewish temple to connect with these Jewish Christians in a deep and powerful way. That inner sanctuary, that's the part of the Jerusalem temple that's behind the curtain, the most holy place. Only the high priest went behind that curtain, and only once a year. Now Jesus has gone behind the curtain as the great high priest. He's the one who's entered in as the high priest forever. And we don't need another high priest because he went in. We don't need a sacrifice again next year because he made the perfect and final sacrifice on the cross. And his resurrection proves his identity, his purpose, and his calling as the Son of God. It's all established in the resurrection. So this is the full clarity first given at the beginning of the letter. Back in Hebrews 1, it says, in these last days, remember this? In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Over the course of the letter, we're told that Jesus is greater than Moses. He's higher than the high priest chosen each year. He's the one who made the perfect sacrifice once for all, never to be repeated or improved. And our passage today now, as we finish this short series, it transitions from a little bit of clarity to the full dazzling clarity, the kind where you're looking right into the sun. You can't look. It's so bright and it's so radiant. It begins with the promise and the oath to Abraham. We can see that. But then the radiance of God is revealed in the flesh, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says again, our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He entered on our behalf into the sanctuary, onto the cross, to die to be the perfect sacrifice. Only he could do it. And only he was obedient and perfect enough to do it. And this is where the Bible always goes in its witness to God. The Bible is the witness to God's faithfulness. It's not about our faithfulness. The Bible's actually full of our disobedience, but it's full of the obedience of the Lord, the amazing beauty of his plan. We catch a glimpse of it first in Genesis. We get a little bit more in Exodus. We get a little bit more in the Kings. We get still more in the prophets. And then we get to the Gospels, the full revelation of Jesus Christ and the Acts of the Apostles. And then in the letters, we get the working out of this plan in the life of the church as we live in the culture and we serve the culture. And finally, in the book of Revelation, we get the new creation. So it's a full story, a complete story. The main theme of all of Scripture is the Lord Jesus, the one who was promised, the one who came, the one who saves. So our calling now as people chosen by God is to live, and to live as witnesses with this clarity, to be people who are very clear about salvation. Where is salvation found? It's only in Jesus Christ. That is salvation. There is no other way. This clarity chases the darkness out of us. It brings us into the light. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're reminded that we have a new identity in Christ. That is our gift. So as you continue your race, I'd like to encourage you to resist the temptation to separate yourself from the culture and resist the temptation to hunker down in this church and try to keep the world out. That's not our calling. It's not our calling. We're not called to separate and protect ourselves. We're called to grow deep roots in our culture, to be salt and light in Greater Victoria. Your good works need to be offered to a hurting world in Greater Victoria. The fruit of righteousness that God is bringing in you that needs to be seen and tasted by those living in darkness. Go to the culture in love and mercy. Love your neighbor deeply. When you have a chance and when they ask you, tell the culture about the promise and the oath. Tell them about the full clarity that you've been given, the full clarity of Jesus, the great high priest. Let's pray. Lord, you have called us to yourself, and we run this race, we stumble, and we pick ourselves up, and we get back in the race knowing that you are the author and perfecter. We thank you, Lord, that you are encouraging us and helping us during the race. We don't run alone. We run with you. We run with our brothers and sisters. And Lord, we pray that our witness at Church of Our Lord would be a great blessing to this city, and that you would use us and our good works to bring glory to your name and to bring others to this living faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen.